this is Michael Williams. We're just standing by, waiting another couple minutes for latecomers to join us. So stand by, and we'll get started here in about 2 minutes. Hello, if you're just joining us, we're waiting about another minute and a half for any stragglers. So we'll get started here in just a little bit. Alright, if you're just joining us, I'm waiting about another minute or less, and we'll get started. All right, let's just go ahead and get started, and at the end of this teleconference, we'll be able to, you'll be able to answer or ask questions, and what we're going to talk about this evening is investing in international properties and how to make money doing that. So let's get started, and also I want to tell you that I have my project manager for a project that we've been involved with for about 3 years now in the Dominican Republic that I'm going to talk about at the end of this call. So right now, let's talk about investing in international properties. So let's get started. And again, at the end of this, you're welcome to ask as many questions as you want, and I'd be glad to answer anything. So if you're just joining us, this is Rogue Investor, this is Michael Williams talking, and I am co-author of the book Rogue Real Estate Investor Collection and president of the company Rogue Investor. And our specialty in the United States is tax liens, tax deeds, and foreclosures. And as far as international properties, my specialty is oceanfront properties, and specifically in the Caribbean and the Mediterranean, two of my favorite places. So with having said that, let's talk about if, you know, you get thrown these all this information on the internet, by email, by newsletters, on TV, of all these wonderfully exotic places to invest. And you may be asking yourself, well, that's great, you know, I should invest in Costa Rica, I should invest in Panama, I should invest in Belize, I should invest in Ecuador and Uruguay. There's all these companies or countries that people are talking about, and you might ask yourself, well, how can I be objective about this and figure out where would be a good place to invest outside of North America, for example? So what I would recommend is that you go through a screening methodology. And I don't know if you are familiar with soils, but a long time ago in a previous life, I used to be more or less, well, I am a geologist, and I used to be more or less a soil scientist as well. And I used to have to take sand and soil and basically dirt, what you would call dirt, and screen through different particle sizes to come up with what's called a sieve analysis. And that's just a scientific method of finding out the different sizes of the particles. So if you take something like that, only you're taking all the countries in the world, or you're taking all the countries that you're interested in, let's say they're oceanfront properties, and you're going through this sieve process, and you're trying to find what is a better place to invest in. Now, granted, there will not be one smoking gun place to invest, because everything is going to be different for you versus someone else, but there will be top locations that are better than others. So let's talk about ways to do that. And the first one, if you're writing these down, would be location. You're definitely going to want to make sure that whatever location you choose is easily accessible. It's easy to get to. Can you take a plane there in one day? Because what's going to happen is, if this place is too far away, you're not going to be very interested in going there. So, number one, location. Let's talk about quality. Number two, you're going to want to find a place that has a unique quality about it, whether that's a beachfront, whether it has a mountain view, whether it has suburban area, whether it needs to have something unique about it. So that would be number two. Number three is price. We're looking for 50% off. We're looking for incredible discounts. So number three, you're looking for price. Now, there's going to be a couple things to consider. When you're going international, there's different units, square meters, terrellas, hectares. There's all these different units, so you're going to want to be familiar with what the units are in that area as compared to what you're used to. And you're also going to be comparing buildings to buildings. You're going to compare a villa to a villa, and you're going to compare land to land. So you're going to want to make sure that you have in your mind what that apple-to-apple comparison is. All right, so let's talk about number four, building costs. This is an incredibly important one that it's oftentimes overlooked. Building costs. How much are the materials? How much is the labor? What's the quality of engineering and architecture? And is there an available labor pool? So why is that important? Well, if you're talking about small, let's say, Caribbean islands, what's going to happen is everything is going to have to be shipped in, and that's going to increase the prices dramatically. For example, in the Dominican Republic, which, of course, I'm keen on, the prices to build are somewhere between $50 to $90 per square foot. And as compared to here in North America, we're starting at about $100 per square foot and going up probably to $150. So, and the reason that is because they have their own materials, so that makes it cheap, and they have an inexpensive labor pool. Now, if you compare that to somewhere like the Bahamas, where at one time we invested in, the labor pool is limited, and all the materials have to be shipped in. So if you're looking at those little islands, if you're thinking, if somebody's telling you, oh, you should check out this tiny island in somewhere in the South Pacific or something, definitely factor that in, because it's going to cost a fortune to get things there. I don't care what anybody says, that's what's going to happen. So that's going to affect your investment. All right, so if you're keeping track, we're on number five, profit potential. Couple things. What is the appreciation? What is the appreciation? What is the land appreciation? And then what is the appreciation of buildings? So in other words, how much is the real estate going up in value on average on a yearly basis? All right, let's also talk about cash flow, rental income. Is there good demand for rental income? That will certainly influence your investment potential. So you're going to want to consider the rental income and the appreciation, and then one other thing, you're going to want to consider whether there's a decent rental management company to help you out. So, because you're not going to be there the whole time. You may want to go, you know, once or twice a year, and you may want to rent your property in the interim. So you're going to want to make sure that there's a decent rental management company. Okay, if you're keeping track, we're on number six. And number six is government. Why is government important? Well, as you can imagine, you want a stable, peaceful, democratic government. And, you know, why is that important? Well, even if you're a risk taker and it doesn't bother you that there was a war somewhere where you're investing now 2 or 3 years ago, I can tell you that it will influence the appreciation. It will influence the perceived value of your real estate investment. So when I'm looking, when I'm going through this sieve process, when I'm screening, I'm looking for a country that has been peaceful, that has been democratic for at least 10 years. If it hasn't, then I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. So definitely factor that in. The government is a big deal. And also look into the currency and how stable it's been. Look into the banking system. Is the banking system open? And all the things that we possibly take for granted here in the United States and Canada and Europe, and you're going to want to check into, and that's part of the government. Okay, if you're keeping track, again, we're on number seven, and that's people. Why would that be important? Well, purely on an investment perspective, it may not be so important. But again, it's back to perceived value. If you're investing somewhere and the people are moderately friendly or maybe not even that friendly to Westerners, let's say, then that's again going to affect your investment. So you're definitely going to want the people to be open to you, to be friendly, to be willing to get along, and that will affect your investment. Okay, let's talk about living costs, and that's number eight, living costs. Again, if you're investing in a location like the Bahamas or Turks and Caicos or some small Caribbean island, living costs are going to be exceedingly expensive because everything has to be shipped in with the exception of maybe a few fruits and vegetables. So that's going to affect your investment. It's going to affect you when you're there physically. If you're thinking of retiring there or if you're just vacationing there, it's certainly going to affect your investment. And you may not see it over the period of 2 or 3 days, but over the period of a week or two or a month or especially if you're retiring there, the food, the transportation, the utilities, the insurance, the taxes, those are all exceedingly important. As we know, as we pay those every day, as here in the United States, we just paid our taxes. So those are keenly on our minds. All right, so let's talk about infrastructure. Infrastructure is number nine on this list. And infrastructure is very important. And what I would say is important about this is not only where it's at right now, but where it's going. Are the roads getting better or are they getting worse? Are the utilities getting better or are they getting worse? Is the mass transit getting better or worse? Certainly you want to know where it's at right now, but you also want to know where it's going. And in certain places, it's not going upwards, it's going down. And so that will certainly factor into your decision. So let's talk about weather. Number 10, weather. If you're looking to retire somewhere, this is an incredibly important factor. It may be why you're going to the Mediterranean. It may be why you're going to the Caribbean or some beautiful place in the South Pacific in the first place. But you're also going to want to consider violent weather extremes. Are there earthquakes? Are there hurricanes that are prevalent? What are the temperature extremes? So these are all factors to factor into your little sieve process of looking for undervalued properties. All right, so I'm going to talk about two locations. I mentioned them. One, the Mediterranean, and two, the Caribbean. First of all, the Mediterranean, I'd like to tell you that there are still values available in certain locations and on the Mediterranean. I know that sounds incredible, but we were able to find some areas of the Mediterranean, and specifically this area that we found is near the border of Spain and France, where the bullet train was about to go in. And in fact, towards the end of this year, beginning of next year, that train track will be finished, and the TGV, which is the name of this bullet train in France, will be done. And so why do I mention that? Well, that is, again, back to the infrastructure. That's the infrastructure going upwards. That's causing the values to increase in this area. That is what's called a catalyst for growth. And those are the kind of things you're looking for. So if we think about the Mediterranean, if we think about Spain and France and Italy, certainly it's beautiful, but is it a good investment? Well, again, there are certain places along the Mediterranean that are very expensive, and you're going to want to, you know, stay away from that if you're a value investor like I am. But as we found, there are areas along this area where the train has not been hooked up, where it's just prime for explosion. And I mean explosion in terms of real estate values. And yes, certainly I recognize that we're in a global recession as far as real estate, but I can tell you that these areas are some of the most beautiful parts of the world that you will ever see. And this is where the mountains actually spill over into the Mediterranean Sea. This is where the vineyards are exposed on the rocky surfaces right next to the ocean. This is where you stand and you look out and you think of the history and the architecture and the art, and you can't believe you're there. So this area is incredibly undervalued in terms of comparing it to other similar locations around the world. That's why we invested there. So if you go through our little sieve process in the Mediterranean, you would find that the building costs are similar to the U.S., that living costs in some aspects, such as taxes, are higher, but in other aspects, such as fresh fruit, vegetables, cheese, fish, and baked bread and things like this, they're much cheaper than here where I live. So overall, the average is somewhat similar. So let's talk about profit potential. There are certain areas where, you know, your profit potential maybe is limited, but if you find that catalyst for growth, then you're looking at some significant profit. Let's talk about the government. The government in Europe is very stable. The currency is great. And the people, very friendly. I have a good friend of mine that actually lives there. And as far as France goes, some people here in the United States think that maybe the French people are not that friendly. I haven't found that. I've found that they're incredibly friendly, and I've never had a problem. I've been there many, many times. Infrastructure is great. It's better than here in North America, in my opinion. And the weather is incredible. This area where we're investing, there's sunshine for 350 days a year. So where we invested in this area is called Banyuls, and what we found is that the land is certainly expensive, but there are apartments and condos that are very inexpensive. We were able to get great values, and we're currently renting those out. All right, so let's talk about the Caribbean. The Caribbean, certainly one of the, you know, most beautiful places in the world. Very wonderful in terms of weather and the people, the Latin influences, and tourism. And even in the global recession, I can tell you that people are still traveling. The travel industry is not hurting like you may think. So, specifically, let's talk about the Dominican Republic, which is one of my favorite locations. And the Dominican Republic, as far as location, is only about an hour and a half flight from Miami. It's only about 5 or 6 hours flight from many locations in Canada, and essentially it's a neighbor of North America that most people, especially in the United States, aren't even aware of. There's a unique quality of the people and the beaches. There are metropolitan cities as large as about 2.5 million in terms of Santo Domingo. Another city, Santiago, is over 1 million in population. And why is that important? Well, you want metropolitan areas. You want to be able to go to locations where you can find materials for building, where you can find shopping, clothing, all the things that, you know, if you're looking for a place to retire or if you're looking for an investment, you may not want to live in those areas, but you want them to be within about an hour's driving distance. And that pretty much eliminates many of the smaller islands and a lot of the so-called really good investments where in warm locations. So definitely factor that in. All right, let's talk about tourism. The tourism, you want that to be growing, but more important than that, I think you want there to be a diverse mixture of people going there. So not just people from Europe, not just people from Canada, not just people from America. You want from all locations so that during these periods of ups and downs in the global economy, there's room for growth because there's diversification. And I can tell you in Dominican Republic, it's one of the most diversified countries in the world. You have Canadians, Americans, Europeans. You even have Russians coming down to visit, to stay, and to buy real estate and to start businesses. One of the biggest reasons that we like Dominican Republic is the building costs. Building costs are so affordable in the Dominican that you can instantly build and have equity in a property. So not only can you buy land for what I believe is 50 to 60, 70% off in terms of global value, but the building of your villa, the building of your duplex or condo is about half of what it is here. So you're looking at what I said before, $50 to $90 per square foot, which is roughly $500 to $900 per square meter. So building costs are extremely important. Land appreciation in the Dominican is somewhere in the 20 to 30% range and as high as 60% in some locations. And, you know, you'll recognize again that we're in a global recession. But I can tell you, when you go down to the Dominican Republic, it does not feel like a global recession. It feels like they haven't even encountered much of this gloom and doom in the world, and real estate is still selling, businesses are still booming, and the feel is just totally different than it is here. So let's talk about government. Government in the Dominican is peaceful. They have free elections. Their president was just reelected in May of 2008, and his name is Fernandez. He has a PhD, was educated in the United States, and they're very friendly, and they love North America. That's their big trading partner. So when you go down there, you're treated with respect, you're treated very friendly, and the people love you. And the people, let's talk about the people. The people are incredibly friendly, and that is one of the big factors for our decision to go down there in the first place. We wanted to make sure that this was a place where we could retire, where we could personally invest and build and stay there, and where we could have a good time. And this is the Dominican Republic. And if you're looking for another location in the world, make sure the people are friendly, that they respect you, and that they want you to be there. Let's talk about one of the catalysts for growth in the Dominican, and that is the Central America Free Trade Agreement, which was signed in March of 2007. And this agreement essentially very similar to, you know, on a small scale, similar to NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. Essentially what this does is it encourages foreign development and ownership. It allows for tax incentives and reducing of tariffs and opening up of the banking system on a worldwide basis, basically almost like opening the books of a company. And this is what the free trade agreements do. These, in order to be part of those free trade agreements, there are many checks and balances that go into place. And in terms of investing, that's good for you because that gives you that comfort factor. And one of the questions I always get about the Dominican Republic is, well, do you actually get to own land in the Dominican? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. You will own a deed. You will have a title to a property, just like you would in the United States or in Canada or in Europe. And your name will be on it, or your company's name, or however you want to title it. It's your ownership. It's not some funny 99-year lease or anything like that. You will actually own the property. So what about the currency? The currency is the Dominican peso, and it's been very stable for the last 4 or 5 years. And we anticipate that it will continue to be with Fernandez and with his democratic government. And in terms of other currencies, the Dominican Republic accepts dollars, U.S. dollars, widely, accepts Canadian dollars, and accepts euros. So you can essentially go down there with any currency and be safe. Their preferred currency is either the Dominican peso or the U.S. dollar. But if you have any other currency, you can get it exchanged very readily. Okay. I mentioned the people. I can tell you that I have many friends in the Dominican. I have employees in the Dominican now, and they're very hardworking. There's a skilled labor force, and, of course, it's very inexpensive. So, for example, if you're looking for a place to retire and you want to have a live-in maid, you can do that for about $250 a month. And I don't know where else you can do that in a peaceful, friendly, incredibly beautiful place where the weather is constant, more or less 80 degrees year-round. Basically, go through your list of countries around the world, and you're not going to come up with too many that are like that. Okay, what else about the Dominican? The Dominican, they have an incredible nightlife with music and dance, and if you're into that, I can tell you that there's music and dancing and places to have fun 7 nights a week. And when Christina comes on the phone, she'll vouch for me on that. So let's talk about living costs. Living costs are about roughly somewhere between 15 to 25% below what they are here, and in some cases as much as 50%. Housing is cheaper, food is cheaper, health care is cheaper, transportation is cheaper, with the exception of fuel in comparison to the United States, but in comparison to Europe and most other places around the world, it's cheaper. Daycare, as I said, maids, gardeners, university degrees are cheaper, and it's just the living cost is incredibly affordable, and tax benefits are wonderful. Okay, property tax. There's essentially no property tax on any property below $150,000 in value. And if that doesn't get you to consider something down there, then I don't know what can, because that is an incredible deal. Very low, and even above that amount, it's only about 1%. So if you're looking to buy a property and you're concerned about property taxes, which, for example, with land, you'll hear a lot of people say, well, don't buy it because you'll have to pay property taxes on that. And even if the appreciation is good, the taxes will take out all the benefit of your appreciation. Well, that's not the case in the Dominican Republic. You're not paying those property taxes on the property, so you're able to take advantage of that appreciation. Living costs, again, the Dominican grows its own fruits and vegetables and sugar cane and tobacco. They have a huge textile industry, and they have minerals such as silver and nickel and some precious minerals, amber and larimar. And it's an incredibly diverse, small country. It's almost like a mini continent, in my opinion. Okay, infrastructure is probably the weak point of the Dominican. And the roads, in some cases, are rough and getting better. Water, in some cases, not that great, but, again, getting better. And electricity is probably their weakest thing. They have brownouts, and most people have backup generators to take care of that, and those are actually affordable at this point. So that's what's done to take care of the problem of infrastructure. And I can tell you that the president, his election platform was called Paving the Way to Prosperity. So he is keenly aware of their weak link, which is infrastructure, and he has been paving roads and taking care of utilities and doing as much as possible in the limited amount of time that he's been there. Okay, so weather in the Dominican, and where our project is located specifically, is what's called a hurricane safe haven. And there's a bay called Luperon Bay near where our project is at that ships and yachts and boats from around the Caribbean go whenever there's some fear of a hurricane, because hurricanes rarely, if ever, strike in that area. And that's partly because it's protected. There's a mountain chain nearby. And it's also because of the way that hurricanes track through the Caribbean and up into the Gulf of Mexico. They tend to go one way or another and circumvent that area. So this is an incredibly important thing to consider. There are a lot of beautiful places in the Caribbean, but you don't want to have to be here somewhere in the United States or Canada worrying about whether a hurricane is going to slam into your new villa that you just built. So certainly factor that in. Factor earthquakes. Have been earthquakes recently in some other locations. I believe Costa Rica just had one. So I'm not saying there can't be earthquakes in the Dominican. I'm a geologist. I can tell you where most of the tectonic boundaries are at, if anybody's that interested. But there haven't been any for a long time in the Dominican, and definitely the hurricanes are a factor when you're looking at the Caribbean. So, as I mentioned, OceanStar States is the project that we have, and if anybody is interested, I'd like for you to check out our website, which is OceanStarEstates.com, and that's OceanStarEstates, OceanStarEstates.com. And anybody that is still on the phone, I'm going to tell you that we have about 15 days or so left on a special that we've been running on property. And this is, I don't know what you call it, the recession buster or something, but this is a 50% discount, literally one half off, on a limited number of our lots that are ocean view lots within about a 2 minutes walk of the beach. This is a secluded private beach, and it's spectacular. And I would challenge you to get on the website and look at the pictures and look at this project and consider, if you've ever been interested in the Caribbean and you're looking for a deal, this really literally is a half-off sale until the end of the month. And I've already had several people take advantage of this special. It's limited to 20. So we're roughly down to about 15 now as far as the number of lots that I will release at that price. And if you are interested in that, please get with me or please get with Christina. So this project is in Luperon, which is, again, this area, a protected bay where hurricanes haven't struck since about 1860. And the area is up and coming. There's a $1.8 billion resort near our master plan community. And this is a location that you should definitely consider looking at. If you don't, I would encourage you to look at the Dominican Republic anyway. Whether you are interested in Ocean Star States or somewhere else, this country is a location that you're going to look back on and go, wow, why didn't I invest in that? Kind of like people look at Costa Rica. Why didn't I invest in Costa Rica about 10 years ago? Because now it's unaffordable. And so let's talk about Ocean Star Estates just in general. This is a beautiful location. Last time we were there, whales were migrating across basically the ocean in front of us towards Samaná, which is a mating location of whales. Our community, again, is being developed right now. We have pictures on the internet. You can check out plans as far as building. And I hope you can join me down there and become part of our community. What we're striving to do now is we're making this a green community, and I'll have Christina talk a little bit more about that. But I would encourage you, if you are looking into this, to get with us in the next 15 days, because, again, that special, we just can't do that very often, and we're looking forward to working with you. So what I would like to do is have Christina get on, and I'm going to open it up for questions right now, and you can ask me questions about anything. It doesn't have to be about Ocean Star, and I'll even answer questions about real estate investing in general, because last time around I gave a discussion on tax lien investing, which of course is one of my favorite things to do here in the United States, and I'll probably have additional talks on foreclosures, self-directed IRAs, and some of my other subjects that I really love to talk about. But right now we're talking about international investing, and I'm going to open it up to Christina to talk about Ocean Star States. So go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing? As Michael explained, I am Christina, the project manager for Ocean Star Estates, and as he explained, our property is located along the north shore of the Dominican Republic, and Dominican Republic is actually the fastest growing tourism market in the Caribbean. And I know Michael's spoken to you about the Caribbean and how great as far as investments are concerned it is down there. I know as far as tourism and all that is concerned, there's been, recent tourism reports that have been released, and the Dominican Republic is actually the second largest in the Caribbean nation. So they saw an increase in 2008 of over 3.4 million guests choosing to come to the Dominican Republic. And those stats basically are coming out of, the United States, Canada, and Europe. Those were the three highest as far as concerned. So as far as Ocean Star Estates, if you go onto our website, www.oceanstarestates.com, as Michael said, you'll see our special that we're offering and all of our pictures, infrastructure information is on there. And you must, check back often, because all that is updated pretty much daily as new information comes in. So I will have new pictures coming up within this, hopefully tomorrow I'll have the new pictures up. And just some things that we're offering at Ocean Star Estates is we have our clubhouse, and any of our public buildings that we're offering are going to be built more along the eco-friendly. And so basically what that is meaning is we're kind of, you know, tooling back and forth with the idea of solar versus wind. That should be hashed out within the next few weeks or so. And building materials and everything in the Dominican Republic is very easy to build eco-friendly as far as the building materials and all that are concerned. They have a lot of materials down there, and that makes it very easy for us to kind of, you know, gear towards that, which is something that's very important to Michael, and it's very important to our company as a whole. So, and I know it's becoming widely more important to those people wanting to invest in properties. So, with having said all of that, do you guys have any questions for Michael or for me?
Christina, do you want to talk about the architectural plans and that kind of stuff just real quick?
Sure. As far as the architectural plans, we have them listed on the website and at oceanstarestates.com. And we have 2, 3, 4, and 5-bedroom houses that are listed. As far as, you know, the, well, basically, we have, basically, each individual house and plan is going to have to be kind of catered to each of the lots that go up there or that you want to build on. So that's pretty much what we're offering. You know, we're also allowing people to custom build and not, you don't have to necessarily use one of our plans. But there are specifications, you know, with the Dominican Republic and as far as building and as far as with Ocean Star Estates as well. We do have our covenants listed. You know, that's always a good thing to look over for building purposes because, you know, there are certain codes that need to be met on all sides as far as, you know, the country is concerned and as far as, you know, Ocean Star Estates is concerned as well.
Okay, so if we have any questions, I believe you hit *6 to unmute yourself. If anybody would like to go ahead and fire away, I'd be willing to take questions right now, or Christina.
Michael?
Yes.
Yeah. I hear, you know, and I understand you have vested interest in the Caribbean and that area over there in the south of Spain, too.
Sure.
But do you have any familiarity with the Mexican coast or Ecuador or, you know, God, I've just been looking all around at Fortaleza and Belize. And I live in Arizona, and most of my family, kids and grandkids, are on the West Coast. So I've lived in Mexico before, so I'm kind of partial to the Pacific or, you know, maybe worst case, somewhere that's halfway between the Pacific and you know, between the coasts, so that I can get back easier to see the kids of that.
Sure. I would say probably my two favorite locations, kind of on the more on the western side where you're at, would be Panama and Belize.
Yeah. Well, Belize is not on my side.
Well, it's basically, I mean, it's Central America, essentially, but...
Yeah, it's more east, you know, it's more...
It's a little further, right.
More Caribbean than it is, yeah, right, yeah.
Right. Mexico, I have mixed emotions about Mexico. I think it's almost like I can't make a generalization about the entire country. There are certain spots that I really think are wonderful, and there's other reasons why I'm not a big fan of Mexico, and some of it has to do with, you know, a little the security and the government that seems to be a little bit up and down and in terms of dealing with the security. But certainly there's some wonderfully beautiful places there, and if you get away from some of the touristy spots, there's some locations that are that are, you know, you can get, you can pick up some good deals, I guess.
Yeah, that's where I'm looking at right now, two or three locations that are, you know, about to emerge probably in the next year, mm-hmm. but haven't yet, and not only are the property values good, but in a couple of the cases, the infrastructure's there or going in right now, and okay, so you pretty well answered my question.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah, I certainly, like I said, I think if you're doing your homework like it sounds like you're doing, then you can find some good deals, and you know, it's a good place.
I just want to stress one point for anybody else that's listening that hasn't had the experience that I have, and I know you have, and that is with rental with your property when you're renting it.
Yes.
You want to, the factor of the management company is really an important factor, because whether or not they're current and strongly trying to rent the property. But the other thing that I just want to say, then I'll get off, is that rental companies that are not in this country but also out of the country are very fickle, and if you sometimes it requires you doing something, you know, actually almost giving money under the table, or doing, just pushing them a lot. Because a lot of times they'll make friends with somebody, and it'll be disproportionate amount of rental in a group that you're in. So that's it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The rental management is a big deal. I kind of casually went over it, but it is a big deal, and it's such a big deal that I decided to set up, our own project rental management company as part of our Ocean Star States, because, you know, I checked into some along in the Dominican, and there's maybe a couple that I think are decent, but man, they're really, you know, overpriced too. They want essentially 20-25% as far as a fee of your rental management, and I just, you know, here in North America, we can't wrap our heads around that number.
No, absolutely not.
So,
well, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Sure, you bet. And it reminds me of a couple other things I didn't really discuss too much, but when you're looking into these locations, do a lot of talking and find yourself some locals to work with that you trust. And I know that's kind of, you know, that's easier said than done, but man, it's made a difference for us, and that's really been a lesson that I think I've learned along the way. Is
look
that,
for the expats that are there.
Yeah, yes, and locals too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want this to sound bad, but in the Dominican they have a thing called, there's the Dominican price and there's the gringo price. And the gringo price, I can tell you, is a lot higher than the Dominican price. So when you're doing any negotiating or doing a lot of these things, you know, I have, you know, my employees do it who are, you know, Dominican natives. And yeah, definitely expats that are there, especially if they've been there at least 2 or 3 years, they have some keen insight, and they can hook you up with some, you know, attorneys and some accountants that they trust. And that is a big deal. And depending on where you go, we think of in terms of like attorneys, for example. We think here, you know, in the United States, I just consider that, hey, every attorney pretty much has to tell the truth or otherwise they'll be disbarred and they'll lose their license and stuff. Well, some third world countries, attorneys may or may not tell you the truth, and the truth is different than what we're used to the truth being. And as you can imagine, finding people you trust, finding professionals you trust, it's a big deal. It takes a little bit of time. It takes due diligence, and it sounds like you've done a lot of your homework, so that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, I'm going to get off, but I just want to say one other thing that
sure.
hopefully will be a benefit to anybody that's looking other than your project,
mm-hmm.
is that you really, really, really want to chase the chain of ownership and the title on the property no matter where you go.
Yes, absolutely. And title has been an issue in the Dominican, and I think that one of the reasons I think that the country hasn't really grown like it should grow is because, you know, if you were down there maybe 10 or 20 years ago, it's exactly what you're saying. You know, you get a title, but you better make sure that the title is clean and clear with no encumbrances on it. With this Central America Free Trade Agreement, and now they have a whole procedure, they call it deslinde procedure.
Deslinde, yeah.
It's very, you know, I don't want to say it's 100% secure, but it is so much more secure and open, and it makes you feel better. But I can tell you, but you know, the process takes longer because there are a lot more checks and balances. So yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, you want to make sure when you're buying a property that you're getting the property. It's really, you know, your title at that point. So
for more than a week.
Yes, exactly. So, no, those are great points. Great points. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions?
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Hello. Hi.
Go ahead.
Actually, I'm on the website and I'm looking for the pictures, but I don't see any pictures here. You know, I'm going through all this information. You have maps, and then you have all the other information, but I don't see any pictures.
Let me ask Christina to we're looking for pictures, Christina, on the website. She's a little more familiar with the web. I mean, I've obviously been on the website many, many times, but would you help explain kind of where things are located on there?
Sure. You know, you're going to see quite a few of some of the pictures if you go on the right-hand side or left-hand side, and then you'll see a drop-down that says, where does it go? For the tours page, you want to go to Ocean Star Estates. You can go to the virtual tour. Do you follow me there?
No, not yet.
Okay, on the left-hand side, yes. Under on the homepage, it yes. says Ocean Star Estates, and if you put your mouse over Ocean Star Estates,
okay.
it comes down,
okay.
and there'll be a virtual tour.
Okay.
If you go on that will kind of walk you through the property, and there's actually quite a few pictures with this, and it kind of, the virtual walking tour basically takes you into, you know, kind of explains a little bit about Dominican Republic, and then it kind of takes you into Ocean Star Estates at the gate and walks you around the property. That's one of our areas.
The pictures of the land, right? But there is no property. Do you have anything? And I'm looking at the picture, five pictures here, but all lands.
Right. Ocean Star Estates, right, currently is raw land. We've started infrastructure. We have the roads cut, and we're currently working on receiving, you know, water and electrical quotes, and we will be getting those installed. We're going to begin, we're hoping to begin, you know, building the clubhouse and everything around August of this year to begin the process of building that. We do already have quite a few owners that have their architectural drawings pretty much, you know, ready to kind of get in there and be, you know, approved and to be built, so.
And then for the pricing, I'm looking at, is that investing in ocean property? Is the price in that part?
Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Okay.
I just want to know how much, you know, it costs, so.
Well, if you go to where the Ocean Star Estates is on the left, and you can go to lots for sale. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. And that will take you and show you how much each lot costs, what the price is. And also in that same area, you can view the plat map. There's a couple different links. It will take you to the plat map.
Yeah, okay, I'm seeing that.
So you can see. And I actually Just today, I received some pictures that were taken from the ocean looking at the property, and it really they're really great pictures that show, you know, the hills of the land and everything. Because the way Ocean Star Estates is, when you come into the entrance, it's very high. It's elevated. So, you know, all you see is just the ocean. And so where the houses are going to be, you know, we have height restrictions because we want everyone to be able to have an ocean view. So the way the property is at the incline. We also have, you know, if you go under more maps, you can see the topographical maps and all of that, you know, if you're able to read those.
All right, these prices is actually, you know, just the regular price or is after 50% off?
No, that's the regular price. These are the regular price for the lots that are listed. So you'll take 50% off of the price that is shown on the website.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right. So
Ocean Star Estates is actually, you know, underpriced about 30 to 60%. We do get realtors from the Dominican Republic saying, you know, you guys are priced low, you're way too low, but you know, we're not trying to be the $1 million, you know, property as of, you know, thus yet. We're wanting to build this up and make this big. So we want, you know, kind of geared towards the middle class. Middle to upper class sort of thing. So, but you know, our property we got an appraisal back, and it was 84%. Is that correct, Michael? 84%.
Yeah, I've had three appraisals done over the last 19 months, and in total, it's gone up 84% over 19 months.
Wow.
So, yeah, the land in the Dominican is, I mean, someday it will, you know, it will be like Hawaii. Let's just put it that way, because it's a beautiful place. It's just kind of undiscovered, and right now people, you know, they don't feel like they feel with Hawaii where, you know, it's a first world place. They still feel like it's third world. But it's moving towards first world. So yeah, the properties are just exploding, and that's why people are coming from Russia, from Europe. I mean, pretty much, you know, countries all over the world, people are coming to start businesses and to buy real estate. It's quite amazing, actually. But uh-huh. I don't think it'll last forever, just like everything.
Right.
So.
I mean, if all the real estate is coming down all over the world. I mean, in U.S. it's going down more than probably 15-25% more in the next few years, and commercial is going really to collapse pretty soon, 30%, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dominican hasn't really experienced that. I think I was just talking to somebody the other day. I read an article in New York Times that was talking about some Caribbean nations, and they specifically mentioned Aruba and some other places, how that the, you know, tourism and real estate has pulled back as much as 30 or 40%, and then they mentioned Dominican, and it's pulled back about 6-8%. I can't remember exactly what the number was. It was between 6-8%.
Yeah, and the euro actually is coming down so much too, you know, just losing all the values, about 60% in Europe, in England, and other places. So.
The euro, is that what you said?
Europe, European properties in England, you know, and in other places, they're really coming down, and it's, you know, going to lose value about 60%. Already, I think it's just 50% off of the price, you know, for 2007. So, I mean, it's just globally, all the real estate is really crashing badly.
Yes. I mean, it definitely has pulled back, which is quite amazing, because now is, you know, now's the time, if you have the money, to be buying real estate pretty much all over the world, because you can get, you know, really good deals. You know, I know you can get them here. I mean, you know, in addition to having these international projects, I buy foreclosures. And I live in the Kansas City area, Missouri, and Kansas. And there are just tons of foreclosures that are, you know, man, we're picking up foreclosures for almost pennies on the dollar. But, you know, it back to Dominican, back it hasn't really pulled back to the level that it has in some other countries, but, you know, it's pulled back a little bit, and I would say that influence has been really the United States more than anything. Mm-hmm. I don't think the other, you know, a lot of other countries have. What's kind of unique about Dominican, let's just put it this way, is that it in Europe and in a lot of locations, it's perceived as an affordable place to go and an affordable place to go on a vacation and to buy real estate and to. So in some ways, although it's pulled back, it's actually helped that country a little bit in terms of its perception as being an affordable location. And, you know, I've confirmed that with some of the all-inclusives in the Dominican, and they're still filling up, let's just put it that way. And, yeah, there's definitely a global recession. There's no denying it. We've all felt it here in the United States. There's no denying that. But that country has not experienced it the way we have. I mean, the feel is just totally different down there. I just came back about 6 weeks ago. I go down there about every 6 weeks, to, obviously, to check on the project and make sure everything's okay. And I can tell you the economy's booming. We bought another car for taking people, you know, like, for example, if you'd like to go down there and look at the property, we'd pick you up and take you to the property and show you and everything. And, you know, we needed another car, and so, you know, I tried to do my normal negotiating with a car dealer down there, and there was no negotiating, let's just put it that way. And you compare that to the United States, and I tell you what, you can get whatever kind of deal you want on a car right now, because GM, Ford, and Chrysler, and even the imports are hurting. So it's just a different feel. And I'm not saying that they haven't been affected by the global recession.
Right.
But it's totally different.
United States is always ahead of time for everything, for growth and also for recession or depression. Then it's going to affect the rest of the world, you know, later. You know, I mean, they just catch up with us later, and that's how it's happening in Europe now and other places in the world. Uh-huh. But anyway, my other question is, how far is this from, you know, East Coast?
How far is it from the East Coast?
Yes.
Well, you can, it's an hour and a half flight from Miami, and it's about a 2.5 or 3 hour flight from New York.
Oh, 3 hours from New York?
Yeah.
I'm around Philadelphia, so how far is about the same thing, right? 3 hours from Philly?
Yeah, roughly. Yes, I believe. I don't recall if there are direct flights from Philadelphia, but there are plenty of direct flights from New York, a lot of them from Miami. There are several direct flights from Atlanta.
So New York, Newark, we can get it from Newark Airport?
I think from Newark, right? Christina, do you recall?
I think it is Newark.
I've flown that way several times, and now I'm trying to remember because I've been doing other things in my life and flying so many places.
Okay.
But, yeah, I believe it's Newark that's direct.
It's about 3 hours, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
From there. And then how about the financing, how that works? You know, you want cash or you have some kind of financing in place?
We do have financing. It's just that this particular special that I'm running this month, you know, it's cash only to get the 50% off.
Okay, I see.
But we do have financing, and there's a whole page on it on the internet that talks about, you know, how much down and the financing terms. And it's owner financing. It's a quick approval. It's pretty painless. You know, you're not dealing with one of these funny banks that has their strict requirements now. We certainly have requirements, and you have to fill out some of the same information, but it's a much quicker, streamlined process.
So how much down do you want? Anything down, or you want terms? You want to go, you know, nothing done or 100% financing, but, you know, with your terms, how that works? You go with terms or you go with the price?
We, I believe, have 30% down as our minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some terms on that. I believe it's, I don't recall what, I think our interest rate is like 8.75, although I've run specials. I think we had a special last month for 6.75, and I would honor that one, too.
6.75?
Uh-huh.
And then for how many years?
It's a 20-year amortization period, and then we have a four-year balloon.
Four-year balloon, okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
And I figure in 4 years that, you know, the appreciation has gone up enough that you can either, you know, refinance it, build something, or, you know, I've already had a couple owners resell their lots and make money. I had one lady own a lot for 2 or 3 months, and she resold it and made a $20,000 profit.
Wow.
So
this owner financing is not just a regular price. It's not 50% off, right?
Not the regular price, but I would... You know, I'm not. I would be willing to talk to you more about it if you're interested.
Sure, I am.
I mean, I would certainly consider. You know.
I'd like to know. I mean, I get more pictures or exactly where the properties are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I have a choice to select them. You know, I mean, all of these things. You know, I need to know and then see how the prices is, how the financing is. So maybe I should call you back and, you know, we talk about it, or show me, you know, if there is any more picture I can go, you know, look at it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you that I have walked that property so many times that I can literally tell you which lots are the best, which, you know, have the most spectacular views.
Yeah.
And I just had a guy buy a lot a couple days ago. And I had, you know, one of my staff members down in the Dominican go out and take pictures for him, specifically standing right there.
Oh, okay.
So we can certainly do that. Just,
sure,
you know,
sure.
As a comfort factor, you can, you know, from standing from that location.
Exactly. Either I need to go there myself, or you need to provide me with some kind of, you know, more information of the different properties. You have the views, the pricing, you know, and, you know, how they are. I mean, are these duplexes or single family houses? Or, I mean, I need to get more information, and then the pricing and everything.
Sure, absolutely. Well, can we, why don't, what is your name, ma'am?
This is Fran.
Fran, okay. Can you leave me... Well, you may not want to leave me your phone number.
I'll call you back again. I mean, I have your number,
913-381-4520.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay, so I'll call you back.
Okay, very good.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Do I have any other questions?
Yeah, I have a slew of them, but I...
Okay, go ahead. And if we run out of time for any reason, I'd be willing to call anybody back and... communicate either by phone or email or whatever, just in case this cuts off. So, okay, go ahead.
Right. So, first of all, I'm just tell me about the healthcare. I mean, the healthcare situation down. Like, what is the payment for healthcare down there?
Sure. The healthcare, they have major hospitals. Santiago is a city of about 1 million people. That is the biggest city near where our project is located, near the north coast.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Puerto Plata, which is a city of about 350,000, and that's a pretty big location. But the nice thing about Santiago is that it has two or three universities, so it has a university hospital and has another hospital. So those...
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Hold on just 1 second.
I'm sorry.
No problem. So... Yeah, back to the healthcare. So the healthcare in the Dominican is divided between hospitals and clinics. And in most locations around the country, they have small clinics. and the clinics take care of most of your, 75 or 80% of what you do in terms of small medical issues, getting, you know, pharmacies, getting medicine and that kind of stuff.
Well, that goes down in Dominican. The novel thing about Dominican is you really don't have to see a doctor for your pharmacy, most of your drugs and stuff, as I recall. Well, last time I was down there, anyways. But I was just saying, like,
yeah, that's true. I mean, you can, if you have a prescription, you can certainly get it, you know, from a pharmacy. Let's just put it that way. I've done that.
Yeah. So, I guess the question is that, well, for example, I'm in the north, Canada, right? Where it's all for free. I mean, they have that. You just passed that in Jamaica about a year and a half ago. You're in the U.S. where, you know, it's, you flip a coin.
Right.
And a major,
good point.
Major of your economic situation is obviously your health care. And those that get hit with a bad problem, unfortunately, it's like, that's it. That's a huge debt problem for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, to be very blunt, is that you're down in Dominican. Is there a monthly thing? Do you just walk in? Do you pay as you go? How does it work?
Well, most Dominicans pay as they go, but they have health insurance, and I don't remember the exact cost, but it's more affordable than it is in the U.S. It's probably about a third to a half of what it is here. But I can get you the exact amount. I know that a lot of people have health insurance cards just like they have here.
Right. Okay, I'm just curious because, the people in Dominican are really cool. Like, I was in just outside of Santo Domingo and went out there, but it's still a third world country until the cows come home. The last time I was there, which wasn't too long ago, unless something really dramatic has changed. It was phenomenal because I have a tendency to hang out with the people there. That's all I care about. I don't care about any the tourists. It's like, okay, you guys go have your own fun time. I meet the people, and this lady took me to her home. Pretty humble lifestyle, but you know what? They got a lot more smiles on their face than a lot of Americans do, especially today. They're really, really nice people, I agree with you. But you have to be careful because there are some areas where are pretty dangerous because there's a lot of shootings going on down there, too. I remember that very clearly.
Yeah, that's great. Man, you're telling it exactly like it is. That's so true. The people are incredible. As far as dangerous, yeah, Santo Domingo, there's some areas of that city. It's like New York or even the city that I live in, Kansas City. It's nighttime here right now. If I go to a few places here in Kansas City, you know, I could. There's a 25% chance I might get, you know, accosted or robbed or something might happen.
Oh, I thought Kansas was pretty settled. I thought.
No, you'd be surprised. In Kansas City, there's some areas that you don't want to go anywhere near. I tell you, I am more scared of some areas in Kansas City than almost every area in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
I've walked around areas in the Dominican Republic at like 2 a.m. in the morning, and nobody's ever bothered me.
There's a place in Canada, there's a place called Regent Park in Toronto where I'm from, and anybody else that's on from Toronto can attest to this.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to be really scary and you can't walk there.
Uh-huh.
That's all BS. And generally speaking, people getting killed and stuff in Toronto,
yes.
It's like, because you piss somebody off, excuse the language, but for the most part, you walk through the worst areas of Toronto and it's not to be, I mean, the only fear is your own personal fear, frankly, but...
I agree. And by the way, I love Toronto. Have I been to Toronto?
Because I've been in touch with you guys for a while. I never seen anything. Like, if you guys were ever in Toronto, I'd grab you in a second, sit down with you, take you out for dinner, and really, like, you guys, I really, like, the stuff you do is pretty cool. I mean, I'm not selling your stuff. I mean, I'm just telling you that I remember I was looking at foreclosures, and I got your book for a... and it was pretty comprehensive, and and you were also very forthcoming as an individual. So, hey, I'm just being very honest about it.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. And yeah, I have been to Toronto several times. It seems like I'm only there for a couple days at a time, and it's, you know, it's always fast and furious. But, man, send me an email. By the way, my email is michael@rogueinvestor.com.
Yeah, I will, because I think very highly of you guys, and I want to invest, actually. Sorry. I want to invest in Rochester, and I wanted to talk to you guys about that, because there's some opportunities there, and it's like, it's not a growing place, but you can get like 30% on your rentals, and you can get it pretty safe, because I don't know if you know about this, but they have this thing called where people go on welfare and the government supports them, and these people, when they rent from you, the government will actually make sure that they'll pay for the rent, and so, but if these guys screw up your house, the government will take care of your house and fix it up, and those guys will lose their welfare. So there's like huge incentive for those guys not to screw up. Have you heard about that?
Well, we have something similar here called Section 8.
Section 8, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're talking about Rochester. You're not talking about Toronto. So yeah, that would be Section 8. Yes.
Because, Michael, my daughter is deaf, and so she, I mean, that's been keeping me pretty consumed, but she's now getting her master's, and she lived in Rochester. I had a friend of mine tell me about Section 8, but I wanted to do my due diligence, mm-hmm. because this guy's trying to sell me, and I'd rather talk to somebody that's sort of, I mean, I always felt comfortable with you guys. I mean, you know, for anybody out there, this is a guy that really has never talked to this guy, but whenever I did, it was like always very authentic and genuine, and you know, I honestly feel that. So I have no problems in saying that. And you're not paying me a nickel, and you don't even know who I am, product goes, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, thank you, that's great. And yeah, as far as Section 8, feel free. One of my associates here, Angie, she's pretty much an expert on foreclosures and Section 8. We have several people on the Section 8 program. She knows all about it. So if you have any questions related to that, just, you know, send them our way, and I'll have Angie help you out.
You guys ever put anything together? As long as I can work it out, I'd be willing to go down there and fly down there and learn, because you guys, inexpensive and very, very comprehensive. Like, anyway, sorry. So
yeah,
let's get back to...
Yeah, no problem. I mean, we do have, you know, a few workshops that we do here and there, and if you just get on rogueinvestor.com, you'll see when they are and where they're located.
Okay, cool.
So,
Well, yeah, I'll email you and make sure I keep it a little bit more in touch, because this is such a great opportunity, even in the U.S. I mean, right now, I mean, as long as we don't get killed with the Alt-A and Option ARM mortgages that are coming due, it's a great opportunity. And I don't know what your sentiment is on that, but let's go back to you want to talk about Dominican. That's not fair for me to switch it like that, so I apologize.
Oh no, that's fine. Whatever I do, the seminars and workshops, I pretty much answer any question that I can answer, and if I can't answer it, I'll find the information. So
let me help
no problem.
This talk to you offline about the other stuff, because this is what
that's
your
great.
Focus is, and I'm interested as well. So let's say I have 50 grand Canadian. I want to buy a plot.
Mm-hmm.
I see you got different sizes. Some are sold, some are not.
Yes.
And then, but that only buys the plot. You know, I'm going to bury myself. The lot.
Yes.
And so then I have to build on it. Is there a time where I have to build by?
I think we, in our covenants and restrictions, I believe we have 3 or 4 years, something to that effect. I've been flexible with that. You know, I've allowed a few other investors to go as long as 5 years without building, but I believe, strictly speaking, in our covenants, if you look it up, I think it says you have to start building in 3 years and or finish in four. Is that right, Christina? Do you recall exactly?
Yes. Actually, how it works is, upon receipt of your title, the lot owner has a maximum of 2 years to submit your set of construction documents, and you submit them for approval, basically, because, you know, we need to make sure that the height restrictions and stuff like that are met, and once those have been approved, you must initiate construction within a maximum of 6 months. So.
All right, so how do you, so, is it Christina or Christine? Sorry, I don't want to.
Christina,
so here's the deal, right? Some of us are working, right? And if you're far away, which I am, it'd take a hell of a boat for me to get there quickly, or a flight. A flight's still reasonable, but how do you manage the entire project from the soup to nuts to get your place built this distant away? Because, you and I know that in Kansas City or anywhere else, you ask somebody to paint your house, and if you're not there, it's probably going to be a different color, or they're going to screw it up, or whatever. So when we're talking about building a property, it's a heck of a lot more complex. We have a language, I don't speak Spanish.
Okay.
I have trouble speaking English at times. So how do you manage that? Like, how do you seriously oversee a project, four or five, whatever number of thousands of miles I'm away, how does that happen?
Well, obviously there's no proof, way of doing this, obviously. But we do have our Dominican staff. They are really great. Our construction manager, Carlos, if you were to decide that you wanted to bring in a builder from Canada and pay them, or bring in a builder, a different one from the Dominican Republic than what we had recommended, all of them have to work under, Carlos, basically. So, there'll always be Carlos speaking with me. He speaks, a little bit of English. His English has gotten really good. And we also have, Humberto, who is kind of our sales manager / tour facilitator. And he does a lot of translating and stuff for us as well. Humberto, owners in the Ocean Star Estates, Humberto is their best friend. So, that's just kind of how it is. And, there's always me and Humberto to kind of take over some things. Obviously, if you're not there every second of the day, it's going to be, there's no foolproof way of, knowing exactly, I don't want that color, I want this color, we're definitely going to do our best to make sure that everything is going smoothly and the way that people want it. If you're one of those that you say, I want, every 2 days I want an update, great. I will get you an update every 2 days. That's, definitely something. If, you want pictures taken, I can have Humberto take pictures every 2 days of, what's going on at the house and stuff like that. There'll always be a way to work something out where, we can kind of get it all kind of work smoothly, so.
But right. What you're getting at is a good point, and let me just expand on it just for a second. There's no way we could do this if we didn't have people down there. And it's more than just Carlos and Humberto. Those are two of our key people. But, we have attorneys, accountants. This has taken about 3 years to develop those relationships and to know who to trust. And there's no way we could do it if we didn't have those people down there. It just wouldn't work. You're completely right.
It's a very valid concern. I completely understand. So.
Well, thank you. I'm just trying to figure this out. I'm going, hey, so I don't know what a lot size is or anything yet. Like, this is all foreign to me. So it's like, hey, wake up. Can I commit to this today? Oh, no, not really, because there's too much to, there's a lot of information to be gathered here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what I'm saying? And you've got a lot of good stuff there, but with all due respect, probably need a lot more, and you're hearing that from that lady who was, so I'm just trying to figure it out, like, hey, how does this thing evolve and mitigating your risk, So,
right. I totally get it.
I know that I mean, listen, I can tell you that everywhere you got good and bad, and you got 95 percentile good and 5 percentile bad, and that's what kills it for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Right. So I'm just trying to figure it all out. But I'll do a little bit more due diligence. I took a look at your little pictures, Matt, your elevations, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
When I say little, I'm just saying because I got a small screen. So, relatively speaking, and so I see there is, it appears that there is, like, no basement. It's sort of it's founded on, like, stilts or blocks, or what are you building it on?
Oh, I see. You must be looking at the one, yeah, we have one. Are you looking at one of the medium ones? Medium one?
I think it was 1,600 or 1,700 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
You can live in a grass hut down there. Because it's so nice, and, you know, you got sun a fair bit of time, and just a little bit of light, and that's it. I was just looking at that. Let me just see where it was. I'm trying to find out where I saw the picture, because that lady was talking, and I went back, and now I've, you have some elevations here. Let's see.
Generally speaking, in the Dominican Republic, they don't have basements. The way everything is built, you know, a lot of the homes don't even necessarily have windows. I mean, the walls, there's no insulation because how it is constructed is they have the cement blocks, and they fill it with cement for the walls. I mean, they're very straight, sturdy, solid, you know, construction. But
I'm looking at F2 floor plan, very specifically.
Which one?
It's M2, so... I'm just taking a look at that, and I don't mean to be interrupting you, but I'm just trying to get a base foundation. So it's the M2 floor plan, it's a medium, and you've got, like, the floor plan, and down below you have the elevation.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Elevation Frontale or something. And in there you have sort of a dwelling that has a little peaked roof and then a sort of a flat, bungalow kind of thing, and then you have a bunch of, I don't know what you have there, but it looks like stilts or, well, I don't know, lack of a better word.
Right.
Can you tell me what it looks like?
The architect, she kind of drew that, and as an alternative, we also have, if you'll look at the actual renderings, did you see the renderings of it? It shows it flat on the ground. I mean, there's two different ways of doing that. Now, if your house was right on the beach, it most likely would probably have more, it would be using the wood construction, just because in the Dominican Republic, if you're on, you know, within so many feet of the beach, you have to use sustainable materials, in other words, wood. So that was just her way of showing a different way of constructing.
They have termites.
Termites? Oh, do they have termites there? Do they have termites in the Dominican Republic, Mike?
That's a good question, because most of the places I've stayed in haven't been wood. So I am assuming there are termites, but, you know, I don't think I know the answer to that. I can find out.
Insects are can just appear. Like, I don't know if you've heard about the West Coast in Canada here, but they're just eating up all our pine, and they're ruining it, and they're coming east. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. It's a big thing going on.
Hmm.
Yeah, the people out there, they're knocking down as fast as they can, because they're trying to figure out what to do, and these things are just growing, and, you know, this is another summer where they'll grow, and, yeah, it's a huge problem right now.
Hmm. Well, back to what Christina was saying, really there's not, most of the construction I've seen down there is you know, the cinder block, stucco exterior, not too much wood construction, I'm assuming there's wood construction because we have plans for it, but most of it is the the cinder block construction. So
yeah, that's what I remember when I was there. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's, yeah, that's what I recall. It's sort of concrete. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So I was just curious about that as well. And what is the, so you're saying the cost per square foot for building these properties is what, $50, $100?
Yeah, if you go under where it says home building, actually it's been moved. Let me see here.
Yeah, I'm open right now. It says renting your property, infrastructure updates, permits, building process, covenants.
Right, there is under the building process. Do you see where it says home building and then building process?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say yes? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. If you scroll down, it says pricing and materials. And then you can say, you know, building prices vary. There is, if you click on where it says materials list, there's a PDF. And essentially, if you zoom into this PDF, what it's going to tell you, it gives you, you know, three approximate categories. We've called them gold, silver, and bronze packages, basically. And you kind of go through the materials of what would be used with, you know, $50 to $75 a square foot, you know, approximately $75 to $85 and all of that. And it kind of just explains what materials would be used. Obviously, you know, if you're wanting, you know, granite countertops as opposed to linoleum, you know, your prices are going to go up. You know, a lot of the pricing, which it is that way all over the world, you know, just depends on your materials that you use. So,
right.
But yes, you can build as low as 50, you know, a square foot, you know, but that also depends on, you know, what materials you're wanting to put inside and outside. So, I mean, I would say, you know, kind of take a good look at, you know, the materials list to kind of get a better idea of what exactly is entailed with each price range.
And they have all these materials resident there?
Uh-huh, they do. Actually, our construction manager is the one who made this up, so he got this together for me.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I'll take a peek at this. Okay, so enough of that. Now, Michael, what about Nicaragua, Jamaica? Look at those. One thing about Jamaica that's really, so I've been to Jamaica a couple of times. I love the people. Not scared of the people. I don't care. Color doesn't scare me. I don't know. Some people it does. Some people it doesn't. I got really close with the people. They're beautiful, great heart, you know, third world country, but yet they just got free health care now. They speak English. Pretty good English, too, as a matter of fact. What about those places, like Nicaragua, Jamaica? I find those places both interesting, because Nicaragua is, you know, it had a bad stigma, but it's really not all that bad. In fact, we know one of the people who's got one of the higher order of positions, like really close to the top guns there. And in Jamaica, it's very cool, too. So I just was curious about those places. If you know anything.
Yeah, I think the main thing with those two places is kind of what you just mentioned. It's the stigma. It's not necessarily that they're like exactly what you said. It's not that the people are unfriendly or it's a bad place to visit or anything. It's just that especially with Nicaragua, the fact that the government hasn't been especially stable for a long period of time creates a little bit of questions in people's minds, you know, as far as, I don't know, like if I were on the phone right now talking about Nicaragua, I think I would have a little bit more of a difficult time telling you the story because, you know, people still, you know, can remember, you know, a little bit of unrest and a government that's a little flaky, let's just put it that way. Jamaica is a little different. Jamaica, I think, is an okay place. I mean, I agree with you. So,
well, actually, Nicaragua hasn't had a political problem for over 15 years, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I mean, just people don't look at their. I mean, we you know,
it's been a little while, you're right. And actually, lady that works for me, that's our graphic artist, is from Nicaragua originally, and her father and relatives. So if that's a place that, you know, you get interested in, man, I'll just have you talk to her directly, because she's got, you know, she's... She's Nicaraguan originally, so I'll have her give you the whole scoop.
This gentleman, my friend, who knows somebody else down there, he's got a position that's like treasurer or some position for Nicaragua, and he's telling me that this place is very stable, and that stigma is like long overdue to be shoved off, and it's the next Costa Rica, in his opinion.
It could be. That's a good point. And basically, I would say once the stigma is gone, then it'll be a great place to invest. Kind of like you're saying, I mean, a stigma is only a stigma because we think it is. And so once that is gone, then it'll be a great place. I mean, someday Cuba will be a great place to invest, too. I mean, we're already starting to see some changes right now.
My friend has called me, and he said to me, forget all those places. You said Cuba and Saskatchewan, and which is Canada.
Saskatchewan. I mean, that's a whole different topic, but I totally agree with you. That's there. There you go. There's a good place.
That's very
totally undiscovered.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of might be like the dark Africa. I don't know. But anyways,
right.
That's about renting. So how do you deliver a consistent consistency in so let's say a guy like me goes, hey Mike, sounds like a great idea, Christina, uh-huh. Here's 125 grand, can you put a place there for 1700 square feet? Probably the answer is yeah, 50%, we got a good deal on the land,
mm-hmm.
The rest, the building house and that, we could probably do that. I don't know, right? So I give you 125 grand, we do that,
mm-hmm.
And then I say, okay, now let's rent it out. And you go, what?
You're asking what I do now, or what you do now?
Yeah, like, you have a rental, you have a group of people that are going to do the renting. Well, who are they renting to? Because if they're renting to the people locally, forget it. I mean, I've seen the way they live.
No, it's tourism rental. And the market starts in November and ends in, roughly May. And then there's a kind of a little boomlet in the summertime when, you know, kids are off school.
Yeah.
So there's probably 6 to 8 months of rental pool really available in the Dominican. And, I mean, that would be my recommendation. Certainly you can rent it to people that are retiring and some others if you want to do a long-term. You kind of have to decide, do you want to hit the tourism market and go for some high rental rates for shorter periods of time, or do you want, you know, somebody, do you want to rent it for cheaper and have somebody in there for a longer period of time? And generally, it's easier to get the tourism market because people are looking for a secluded place. You know, they're looking for that beach. They're looking for the getaway. And not everybody wants to go to the hotel or the all-inclusive. Those are fun, but if you've been to them once or twice, they get old really fast. So,
right.
That's basically why, you know, I set up my own rental company, and we have our own office there in Luperon, which is the city right there. So,
how are you going to deliver, like, so, you know, let's face it, you're a huge average, you might have to do a fair bit of marketing, probably huge marketing. Right? Because, I mean, the word's got to get out. There's got to be incentive for somebody to want to go to Luperon,
yes.
Which is not something that people know about, like Puerto Plata, Santo Domingo, those areas.
Mm-hmm.
You have to facilitate travel, you know, the whole continuity of from home to, I don't know, where do they fly into to get to Luperon?
They can fly into either Puerto Plata or Santiago.
Okay.
Either way. Puerto Plata is more of a tourist airport.
Right. I've been there. Yeah. I was actually in a place called Costumbar, which is just outside. It was a private compound, Great Falls. Yeah. But and that's where that just outside there was shooting out in there. But that so they, how do you get somebody to sort of this is off premises. This is they're basically going to be here and loop around with very little facilities there. So how does one encourage that? Because you know when you're in Puerto Plata, you have everything at your fingertips because you have, you know, the convenience of that whole surrounding there, you know, cab drivers, yin-yang, what you call your yin-yang, you have your all-inclusives.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Very attractive. And especially now, like that lady said, I mean, we know, you know, for example, Sandals and Beaches is, you know, saying, hey, we're going to give you 55% off. If you've never been there, that place is unbelievable, unbelievable cooking. Great quality, top notch, and they're hurting everywhere. Turks and Caicos, Jamaica, all the places that they have, and you know. So how do we say that we could feel comfortable about you renting it and encouraging somebody to be able to do that? Because you have a huge competitive market out there, especially today, as that lady says, with a recession, possibly a depression, if you've been listening to Gerald Celente or Jim Rogers and all those guys,
Again, first of all, I'll say I can't guarantee anything in life, and I'll be the first one to admit that.
I'm not asking for a guarantee, I'm just saying...
And I don't know where the world is going.
Right.
I don't think I believe the doom and gloom. If I start hearing more of that, then I'm going to get really happy because I don't believe everything I hear. Let's just put it that way. But I also don't believe people that say that we're going to rebound in like one month or something. Or stock market's already rebounding. Hey, things are fine, no problem, because there's the inherent things that got us to this point haven't completely changed yet, and they need to be resolved. But what I would say first of all is that if you're only looking like short term, 3-6 months or 1 year, then I especially can't guarantee anything. But if you're looking longer term, I still think this and some of the other locations that you mentioned, like Nicaragua, these are great places to invest.
Well, sorry, what I was saying is about, are you marketing to Germany? Because you know the Germans love Dominican.
Essentially, as far as rental, I've done most of my success at finding renters, and I rent properties in France right now, has been on the internet, has been online. And then usually hooking up with a few travel agencies. I mean, they still have travel agencies, believe it or not, and especially in Europe.
Yeah.
And
one of ours just went under. Huge.
Also, I started to make some inroads into a few travel companies and doing some advertising with them. So those are the main ways, and I can just tell you that the internet's pretty much the way to go as far as marketing travel.
Okay.
Anything else? Limited success.
Right. Okay. All right. I'll consider that. I'm gonna let other people talk. I'll email you guys. We'll talk.
Okay. Tell me your name. I'm sorry. I didn't ask you.
Marie Kaufman. I'm from Toronto.
Okay.
I found you by accident on the internet a long time ago, and I've had your book close to me. It's on PDF. I got the key password somewhere under a readme.
Okay.
That kills me. To open it up, I have to go, what's that password again? My God.
Do you have our latest version?
I don't know. But I'll email you. We'll talk. I think so highly of you guys. When everybody comes to me about real estate and this stuff, I go, hey, don't spend $4,000 right now to these other guys, these shysters, but don't give you no perspective. Here's the place.
Thank you.
I don't give them the book or nothing. I just go, listen, the price is right. It's all fair. The guy's done his due diligence, and c'est la vie.
That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, that's great, Marie. Why don't you give me a call, and we'll talk more about it, and we'll just talk. That's great.
Yeah, I'd like to work a plan to start developing. I'd like some mentoring help, absolutely, knocking on doors. Because this Section 8 sounds really funky. I don't think the U.S. is going anywhere. Quite frankly, it's a pretty big area. So, and the only thing I'm concerned about are, I don't know if you saw the thing on 60 Minutes about the Alt-A and Option Arms by Scott, I think it was named Scott Kelly or something. Great, great thing about that we're only 35% there on the mortgage issue. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, no. Awesome. That was on 60 Minutes, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look it up online and see what's available.
It's on now, but I can email you the entire script.
Oh, okay. That'd be great. Yeah, I wish you would.
I have a graph. Yeah, I'd like, because I want to talk to you about that, because this mortgage, this dilemma, this huge, you know, all the mortgage-backed securities and everything else going on, I understand it, except for I don't live in the U.S., so I don't feel it. And Canada is not that far off because we have zero down. People are saying, oh, Canada's way better. Well, screw you, because zero down, houses go down 20%, just walk, right? I mean, the people, poor people that have worked hard, such is life. So we're not far off. But this article on Option Arms and Alt-A, I will, sorry, just let me get your email right now. It's michael@rogueinvestor.com?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. I'll send it to you today, and I'll say hello, and then we'll correspond, and whatever I need to do to get together, it'd be great. And, yeah, if you could send me the book, great. I want to learn about that Section 8, because it sounds like it's a great opportunity to sort of secure yourself, and, you know, you get a nice property, rent it out, get those people in there. And it's sort of, it's a very interesting concept because it potentially protects you or has an added way of mitigating risk. Because obviously the renter, he doesn't want to lose that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I can talk about that, no problem. I'll tell you all about it.
Great. So anyways, I've done enough selling for you, because and unintentionally, though. And
okay.
Nice talk to you.
All right. Great to talk to you, Marie. All right.
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Mark. Quick question for you.
Sure.
Regarding your venture in France, are you offering anything over there, or?
I do have something. We have a project that we kind of did a joint venture more or less with another company. It started off as our project, and then they kind of took it over, but we still work with them. So if you are interested, I can give you some information on that. We converted a house into apartment units, and it overlooks the Mediterranean. It's very beautiful. And we still have our other project that you know is a done deal. It's just, you know, that we rent it out, and I occasionally go over there, probably once or twice a year, and just, you know, sometimes take people over there, and sometimes just go over there for a retreat on my own. So yeah, it's a beautiful place. So if you do want some information, I'd be glad to send you some.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll email you as well.
Okay, that sounds right. Good.
Great.
Thank you.
Michael.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyone else have any questions? All right, well, thank you very much. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to call our number, 913-381-4520. You can speak with me, Christina, or anyone else here, and we'll help you. I'll get back with you personally. And again, you can send something directly to my email, which is michael@rogueinvestor.com. So thank you very much, and have a great evening, everyone. Bye-bye.